Welcome to City on a Hill, where we believe, belong, become, and build. We are a loving and caring community located in Crab Orchard, West Virginia, led by Pastor Damon Davis. Whether you're listening for the first time or you're a regular part of our family, we are so glad that you're here. At City on a Hill, we believe in reaching out to everyone with the love of Christ. Make sure to visit us online at cityonahillwv.com for more info on how to get connected. Now, let's dive right into the message from today and grow together in Christ.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, and people just can't understand when we have the peace of God going through trouble and trials. They just can't understand that because it passes all understanding. It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You can be seated. This is, I feel like preaching this message tonight, and I believe that if we listen to it at least once a month, it would help everybody. We hear a lot of preaching, and one message following another makes you forget the one you heard before. So there's so much word given that we soon forget it. It just right there, like if Damon would preach on, you got to pray more. That's in your mind. You make up your mind while you're here, you're going to pray more. But then you get out and you forget all about it. But here's one thing I think that's really needful. If you'd look up that word, be careful for nothing. If you got the NIV, the nearly inspired version, or another version, about all of them going to come down to say one thing. Don't worry. Don't worry. We got any worry people in here? We got a lot of people that worry. Okay. Not only does the Apostle Paul give us this word here and tells us not to worry, be careful, don't worry about anything. But Jesus also, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, he said, don't worry. Verse 31, he said, don't worry. Verse 34, he said, don't worry. Three times. When Jesus repeats something, he's wanting you to pay attention to it. And so I begin to think about the things. Your victory will come, and it'll be evident when you get rid of your stinking thinking. So tonight I want to preach a message on we need a checkup from the neck up. And we do. We need a checkup from the neck up. You know, the Bible says not to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. From here up is where we get our victory at. From here up, you're either going to have praise in your heart or you're going to have doubt in your heart. And I believe the mind is the steering wheel of our soul, because that's just the first place the devil wants to attack you is in your mind. I don't care what you're going through with. If he can control your mind, he can control your actions, he can control your thoughts, he's got the victory. But we don't have to put up with it. We got victory over him. A man asked a pastor one time, said, do you worry? He said, no, I don't worry. He said, because worry is a sin. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is a sin. And he said, if I'm going to sin, I'm going to do something a whole lot more fun than worrying. And so we got a people a group of people going through the world today, there's a lot to worry about. If you really want to, there's a lot you can worry about. The devil gives you all kinds of things to worry about. We find worry in the Bible. I used to love around Easter time. I love that song. They sang, early one morning at the breaking of dawn, three women went out to the graveside alone. They were going to anoint Jesus with spices that day. But all three of them was worried because they didn't know how they were going to roll a stone away. And that's what the Bible says. They was worried, how are we going to get the stone away? When they got there, it was already taken care of. I'm a firm believer in most of the things that we worry about will take care of themselves if we just trust in God and do what he wants us to do. So when things happen, I wrote down some things that are that they've done studies on. And 40% of the time, we worry about things that are never going to happen. 40% of our time, we worry about things that's not going to happen. I know sometimes you think, oh, what could happen? This could happen, that could happen. And you keep on going, it never does happen. But we was worried about it. So we need to clean up our mind from our neck up. We need to start cleaning up our mind. 30% we worry about the past. You can't unscramble an egg. You can't unring a bell. Why we want to worry about something that happened in the past? Here's the thing you can do. You can either show people your scars and dwell on the past, or you can forget your past and start looking for the stars. I'm not worried about my scars. I'm going to look for the stars. And so the past, don't worry about it. If it's in the past, you can't do nothing about it. 12% of the time, we worry about what others think. When you go to the mirror to clean up and get ready for church, you're not going to leave that mirror until you're satisfied with the way you look. And if you're satisfied with the way you look, don't worry about what other people think about you, because it don't matter. You worry when you're in your teens, you worry about what people think and what they say. When you get 20-some, you worry about it. Get 30-some, you worry about it. You get up around 50, you found out they wasn't even thinking about you. Amen. And 10%, we worry about our health. And that only makes your health worse. So we're up to 92%. And all of that 92% is nothing but a farce. Things that may never happen. Things that you can't change if it does happen. And our health gets worse when we start worrying. Megan came up to me last week. And she's talking about, I still got black in my beard. And I still got a little bit of black in my hair. She said, you don't stress, do you? And I said, no, I don't stress. Why should I stress? I just found out that God's going to take care of it. If he don't, I can't do nothing about it anyway. The Bible says you can't change one cubic of your stature by worrying. You can't do it. And so I just leave it up to God. If it happens, God wants it to happen, it'll happen. If it don't, I don't care. I'm at a place right now, I do not have to perform. Hallelujah. I'm not under no pressure to perform, Darren. If God uses me, fine. If he don't, it's even better. I'll let somebody else take it. Here's one guy that loves to turn it over to the younger people. Hallelujah. All my life, I wanted a position where I could fellowship and go anywhere I wanted to and do what I wanted to. I'm there. Thank God I'm in that position. But, I mean, I'll let God use me if I'm needed. But worrying about our health. Listen to some of the issues I wrote down that people worry about. Appearance. That's a bad thing, man. You got to have all kinds of clothes. You got to wear this. You got to wear that. Worry about our jobs. Worry about money. Am I going to have enough money? How's my 401k doing? 401 or whatever. Should I get the COVID shot? I had a thing to come on my phone today from Walgreens, it said, they said that you could get two COVID shots, it would be better for you. I blocked them. They'll never advertise on my phone again. People worried about getting a COVID shot. Should I get it or should I not get it? If I do get it, well, horns start growing out of my head. Why we worry about stuff like that? We belong to God. He's going to take care of us. And I'll prove that in a little bit. I'll show you exactly what God's going to do for us. All kinds of things. I read an article one time of a 94-year-old man, and his wife was 92 years old. And they went up before the judge to get a divorce. And the judge said, why have y'all waited now to get a divorce? They said, well, we've never had a really good relationship, but we wanted to wait till our last kid died so they wouldn't know that we was divorcing. Can you think? I mean, another month and they may have both been dead. Why would people do stuff like that? We worry about saying something wrong. We worrying about should I go or should I not go. Well, there's a lot of sickness going around. I better stay home tonight. I might get sick. Well, I'm worried about this. We even worry about getting out of the parking lot at City on the Hill on Sunday. But let me give you five things, and I'll get out of your way, about not to worry. And they're all biblical right here. Decide not to worry. I can't decide that for you. You have to decide it for yourself. Make up in your mind, I'm just not going to worry about it. And control it when it starts to come back in your mind. Stop it. Put the devil out of your mind. Tell him, so I'm not listening to that. I'm not going to worry about it. I turn it over to Jesus. It's going to come. It's going to work out the way he wants it to. I'm not going to worry about it. Make up your mind. Let me remind you, the man that's given this advice is in a Roman prison, knowing that he's getting ready to die and going to be beheaded, and he's telling us, don't worry about nothing. Don't worry about it. He knew he was going to lose his head, but he wrote in another place, he said, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. Not only for me, but everyone that loves his appearing. He knew he was going to get another head. He wasn't worried about losing his head. And he's in prison. He'd done been in prison in Caesarea. He'd been in prison in Jerusalem. And now he's in a Roman prison getting ready to die. And he's writing to us and telling us, don't worry. Why? Decide not to. Just decide, I'm not going to worry about it. Why? Why ain't you going to worry about it? Well, because one thing, Jesus told us not to worry three times. We got a sure word from him. Worrying is like getting in a rocker. It'll give you something to do, but it won't take you nowhere. And it's, you can't sleep when you get worried. It messes up your whole physical being. You toss, you turn, you worry. You think this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And the devil has got the victory over you. Just as soon as you start worrying, you're going to lose a good night's sleep. Let me tell you something about the peace of God I got in my life. When my head hits the pillow, I'm gone. That's right. I'm not going to lay there and worry about it. I'll tell you a good way to do it. If the devil starts trying to keep you awake, get up and read your Bible. He'll put you to sleep real fast. Amen. You'll learn more about God. Corrie ten Boom said, worry will not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but it will rob today of its joy and strength. And man, that's a truth if it's ever been said. Worry will not solve tomorrow's problems, but it'll rob you of today's joy and today's strength. Hallelujah. That's why I'm not going to worry. I done made up my mind. I'm not going to. I quit worrying a long time ago. Amen. I've got peace and joy like I've never had. I mean, it's unbelievable when you're not under pressure to have to perform. Somebody said, don't you like to preach good? Yeah, but I don't care if I preach good or bad, as long as I'm preaching. Somebody said, the worst position to find in a band is somebody to play second fiddle. I don't care. As long as you're fiddling, you ought to be okay. Amen. Sometimes we worry about little things. Like a teacher in school one day, she said, "Johnny, how much is 3/4 of 5/16? Johnny said, "I don't know, but I don't think it's enough to worry about." That's a good answer. Little bitty things, we want to worry about them. Amen. All right, number two. I'll go through these five fast. Decide not to worry, number one. Number two, decide to pray about it. Well, where do you get that from? Well, let's read it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Now, he said, don't worry about nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Start praying. If you pray, don't worry. If you worry, you won't pray. 9 times out of 10, you won't pray when you're worried. But if you pray, then don't worry. You put it in God's hands. He knows where it's at. He knows what he's doing. He knows when to work. He's got the time. Just trust in him and let everything. You cannot open up a rose. It has to unfold. And when it unfolds, it'll be at its beauty. You try to open it up before it's time, you'll tear it up, and it'll be a marred rose. God's got a time for everything. Our job is to pray and thank him for everything we're going through with. By everything, giving thanks. Okay? This here, as Damon would say, is tweetable. You listen to this, it's tweetable. When you worry and don't pray, worry is a conversation you have with yourself that you cannot change. Prayer is a conversation you have with God that he can change. That's a good place to clap right there. That's a good place to give an amen right there. Because God can take care of it. You can't. You can't change anything by worrying about it. So why worry about it? Just pray and let God have it. Now, I'm saying some things that you'll soon forget, so you need to get this message off of whatever once a month and listen to it, because you're soon going to forget what I'm telling you. I won't forget because I don't have anything else to worry about. I go home. I don't have nothing to worry about. The house is dirty. Well, let it be dirty. I don't care. Somebody said, well, what company comes? Well, let them clean it up. They don't like it. That's the position I'm in now. I used to worry when I was younger. I want to have enough money that I can buy what I want. And I found out when I got there, I didn't want nothing to buy. I don't want nothing. Hallelujah. What a state to be in when you can buy what you want, but you don't want nothing. Amen. I'm satisfied with Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen to me. Now, don't think that I don't care. I got a lost son that I pray for real often. And I know that it's in God's hands. And when I get through praying for him, I don't worry about it no more. There's parents that have children that's in a bad lifestyle. And their life is ruined because they can't enjoy life because worrying about their children. Listen to me. I love my son. I want to see him saved. But I'm not going to let his lifestyle ruin my lifestyle. And you shouldn't either. We can't help what our kids do. We can pray about it. But I'm going to enjoy the life that God gives me, whether he wants to enjoy God or not. I'm praying for him, but he's not going to ruin my life. And you should never let your children ruin your life. God gave you that life. And so, but pray about it. And then let God have his way about it. I refuse to quit living the life that God gave me. I refuse to to not enjoy the life that God gave me. I'm not going to do it over some things that I want to happen that's not happening. You're just killing yourself, and they're killing their self. Well, just, if they want to kill their self, why don't you start living? Amen. Say, I think I will start enjoying life. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to say my prayers on what needs to be prayed for. Then I'm going to live my life and enjoy everything I do. Amen. All right, number two, decide to pray. And that's one of the main factors is praying. Number three, decide to have an attitude of gratitude. It said, in supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Thanksgiving. We wait till Thanksgiving before we start thanking God for stuff. When we should thank God every day of our life. I remember one time I lived down on the Gulf, and I was going through some trials, and things was not looking too good. So I went back up in the woods to pray. And I tried to pray. I just couldn't pray. Every time I'd get to pray a little bit, I'd look around and see if anybody was close to me. I was back up in the woods, but I couldn't pray. So I sat down on an old log that had broken, fell over, and I sat there and I said, Lord, I can't even pray. I'm in a position, Lord, that I'm wanting to pray, and I can't pray. I sat there, and I got to thinking, man, I got running water in my house. I said, thank you, Jesus. I could see them bushes and trees. And I said, oh, thank you, Jesus, for my eyesight. I can hear the birds and squirrels. I said, thank you, Jesus, for my hearing. I got to thanking the Lord for everything that I could think of in my thanking for my car, thanking for my job, thanking for my kids. I got to thanking God. Boy, it wasn't long. I was up almost ready to shout. I was shaking hands with the bushes. Thank you, Lord, for bushes, Lord. When you really start thanking God, you can get happy in God. You could feel the Spirit of God moving. We got so much to thank God for. You are to go to some of these third world countries and see what they have to live, what they have to go through with. We got a lot to thank God for. We ought to have a meeting one night just to let everybody thank God for everything they got. Why? Because God wants us to be thankful. He don't want us to take this, you owe me this, God. God don't owe you nothing. God don't owe you a thing. The government don't owe you nothing. But you ought to be thankful for everything we got. Hallelujah. Decide to have an attitude of gratitude. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. Now let me read you that in the Greek. Do all things without grumbling and complaining. You know, it's hard to have a group of people together that you can't get a bunch of whiners. Nobody don't like me. Nobody don't want me to do nothing. Nobody shakes my hand. Whine, whine, whine. Then you got your martyrs. Your whiners, nothing's fair. Everything's unfair. Then your martyrs. They don't want me to do nothing. They don't want no help. I try to help. They won't let me help. Then you got your people say, nobody don't appreciate me. Are you in this thing for somebody to appreciate you? Are you in this thing to get out of hell? Are you in this thing to just to get somebody to pat you on the back and brag about your singing and your preaching or your testifying or your music playing or your don't know? Are you in here to worship and praise God for saving you from a hell? I don't know about y'all, but it's already settled. I am not going to hell. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to. I belong to God, and He's taking me to heaven if He's got to drag me every foot of the way. Amen. That's how much He loves me. We just forget how God loves us, and we get an old grumbling, complaining, they don't appreciate me spirit, and it'll drag you down to the bottom. Amen. Hallelujah. This is Wednesday night. We're going to get some from the neck up. We're going to get healing tonight. I'm not going to lay hands on your shoulder. I'm going to lay hands on your head. From the neck up, we need a change. We need to renew our minds. Decide to have an attitude of gratitude. And you know what? There's people watching you. They know if you're a cynic and always complaining, always it's always going to be like this. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Walmart can sell 200 TVs, but the one I buy don't work. Yeah. That's how it is. People think, oh, Lord, they had 1,000 of them things there. I just bought one, and it's the only one that doesn't work. The rest of them is probably really good. Poor old you. You know what? We love to have pity parties for ourselves. We want to cry on everybody's shoulder because of what's going wrong. And if your neck was long enough, you'd cry on your own shoulder. You need to face up, man up, woman up. Get up and say, I'm better than this. I'm better. I'm not going to let the devil drag me down. I'm going to get a check up from the neck up. I'm going to renew my mind. I'm going to quit grumbling. I'm going to quit complaining. I'm going to worship God. If nobody likes it, hallelujah. Glory. Decide to have an attitude of gratitude. Not only that, decide to think about good things. You can decide what you think. You can say, well, I love to watch the news. You ain't watching news. I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what channel you got it on, Fox, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS. I don't care what it is. You're not watching news. You're watching their spin on what's taking place. They're not giving you no news. News is like this. There was a car wreck today. Two people got killed. Now let's move on to the weather. You don't hear that. No, that don't sell. You hear what their spin is on. If you listen to the Democrats, they're always running the Republicans down. If you listen to the Republicans, they're always running the Democrats down. They're not giving no news. The best thing I ever did was got rid of every news channel. I don't have none. I don't listen to them. And that's what's wrong with you from the neck up. If you're listening to the news 18 hours a day, you'll never get right with God. Say, Brother Eddie, you have offended me. Well, it'll feel better when it quits hurting. That's right. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to let us know what the devil's doing to us. You're not getting news. You're just getting spins. And you don't need that. Decide to think on good things. Watching news is not one of them. Even your local news has got an agenda. They're trying to convince you to believe what they believe in. One time this woman was out one warm summer evening riding along with her kids, and a car in front of her, convertible, and a woman in the convertible stood up and started waving at her. She was stark naked, and so the woman driving was trying to get over what she'd just seen. One of her kids in the back said, Mommy, that woman don't have a seatbelt on. You see what the kid saw? The mom saw something different. We get our mind on the bad things instead of good things. Think about good things. And in Acts chapter 26, verse 2, the Apostle Paul was before King Agrippa, and they asked him to say something. He said, O King Agrippa, he said, I think myself happy. What? Before a king in prison, and he thinks himself happy? If you can think yourself happy, that'll get you out of a lot of situations. Your mind controls your body, whether you know it or not. People get set down in a chair to get comfortable and drink a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and as soon as they sit down, they see something on the carpet, and they got to get up and get it, whatever it is. can't relax because they got OCD. Can't be nothing laying in the floor, nothing out of place. Dustin, I ain't like that. Somebody comes to my house, they might trip over something. But you're going to be welcome. And you're going to meet somebody that's happy. I think myself happy. Woo, glory to God. So you see where your happiness comes from? You're thinking. And if I can change your mind about a lot of things, me and God can get you fixed from the neck up. You'd be getting along so much better. Decide, number five, and I'll quit with this one. I think myself happy, the Apostle Paul said. And the reason we don't have no peace in our life is because we're thinking the wrong things. Isaiah 26:3, I'll prove it by the Bible. He said, I will keep them in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me because they trust in me. So you see, I'm not out of the Bible. You want perfect peace? You can have it. But you got to get this mind under control. You got to think on God. You got to think about his power, all the miracles that he's done. He ain't changed a bit. He can do for you what he's done for them in the old Bible. We just got to think on him. Keep our mind on him. Last, number five, decide to be content with anything. I came up in a family of 15 kids. I was kind of like the guy, he said there was so poor, sometimes mom would just read a recipe at the supper table. We wasn't quite that bad. He said he had a brother who couldn't hear good and he nearly starved. But I do know what commodities is. And I know what hard times is. And I know how poor it is. And now we got to decide to be content with anything we have. Philippians 4:11, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He said, I know what it is to be in need. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Or have plenty. Contentment is enjoying what you have right now. Here's a position a lot of people are in. Oh, one of these days when I get a certain amount of money in my bank account, then I'm going to be content. No, you will not. If you're waiting for a certain thing to happen before you're going to be content, you may never be content. You got to learn. The Apostle Paul said, whatever state I'm in, if I'm in West Virginia, I'm content. If I'm in Florida, I'm content. Whatever state I'm in. If I'm in Tennessee, I'm happy and content. So we got to decide to do that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because contentment is enjoying what you have right now. How can we do all this stuff that you're telling me, Eddie? How can I decide to think on good things, pray about it? How can I decide all this stuff that you just told us? I'm glad you asked me. It's in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, you done said I can't do it. You done said in your mind, there's no way I can do this. I cannot keep my mind on this. I can't keep my mind off of that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Then you're saying that God is insufficient because he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You can do it. You got to tell yourself you can do it. You got to preach to yourself. You got to say, get up off of this couch. You're better than this. Get out and pick up something out of the yard. You need to move around. You don't need to be sedentary. You need to move. You need to do something. Go walking. Go climbing. Do something. But you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let me tell you about a friend of mine, and I'll quit with this. I had a friend, and I really like him, but he had to go through a bad surgery, and he died during that surgery, and they worked on him, and they got him back. And after he got over and got back on his feet and started doing things. You know what he's doing now? He's watching birds. He's looking at birds like he's never looked at them before. You know why? Put Matthew 6 up for me, Shane. You know why he's looking at birds and he's looking at things different than he ever did? He got another chance. Oh, I was looking at that one back there. 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Your life, Chandler. Don't take no thought for it. It's your life. But you're not supposed to take no thought. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Next verse. Behold, look. It said, look, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? My friend is watching birds. And he's realizing nothing I can do. Jesus did not hang on the cross for birds. Jesus did not shed his blood for birds. Birds are not made in the image of God. Birds are not children of God. But you notice he said how much more your heavenly Father cares for you. He wants us to observe birds. He wants us to look and say, Lord, they're taken care of every day. I go down to Florida and here comes about 50-some seagulls. And they land all in one spot. Next morning, daylight comes and they're just all around one another. One or two of them started to take off. Here comes a couple behind them. Next thing you know, the whole flock's raising up going out. You know what they're... They're going for God's breakfast. How much more does Jesus care for you and I than them birds? He said our life is much better. And so this friend of mine's been looking at life a little bit different. And he's observing birds. And it's changing him. He's finding out, I can't. I never said I could. You can. You always say you would. And I'm putting everything in his hands. And it's doing wonders for me. That's why I decided to preach this. Matthew 6 and 26 said, look at the fowls. Look at the birds. Check them out. Your heavenly Father knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through with. He knows exactly. He just wants you to bring it to him. Cast your every care upon him because he cares for you. I don't know how long I've been tonight, but it's just been something that I promise you, if you'll listen to this message once a month, it'll change you. It will. It changed me when I started changing my mind. You're gonna have to do it right here. You're not gonna do it by joining a club or a group. I mean, you go say, well, I'm going to the AAA. You know what they're gonna do? Would you get up? Hi, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not going to get up in church and say, hi, my name's Eddie. I'm a sinner. No, I'm not. I'm saved. Hallelujah. That's right. It's sad. It's really, really sad when we're lost and we know we're going to hell. And then when Jesus saves us and we're ashamed or we cannot confess to other people that we're saved. I'm saved. I know I'm saved. There ain't no doubt in my mind I'm saved. And if you knew me before I knew him, you'd know I'm saved. Why? I found out one thing. I cannot change nothing by worrying. But oh, I can change a lot by praying. Thank y'all for being so patient tonight.